The church must transition from religious thinking to kingdom thinking. We must begin to see church beyond Sunday meetings. We must begin to see church beyond the four walls of a building. Begin to see church beyond clerical colors and pulpits and microphones. Then see church as a kingdom. At every material moment, there must be a world ruling over the earth. What Adam did by obeying the devil was that he voted the world of the devil into power. The limits of the dominion of the last Adam is higher, deeper, wider, longer than the limits of the dominion of the first Adam. Today, and you're all welcome to church once again. I want you to start praying in the spirit for 30 seconds to get yourself prepared for the word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ibaha dolobo koshinda laha dolobo hatasiki. Kondi yalla lava kutaha. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the privilege you've given us, as you always do, to come and sit at your feet and listen to your word. Even as your word is coming with great power and might, we pray, O God, that you open the eyes of our understanding. Let your word have a place in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We thank God. We have been talking about kings, prophets, and priests. Kings, prophets, and priests. And as a matter of fact, all that we've been sharing for about 2 months now has been centered on our three offices of kings, priests, and prophets. And if you go to the messages for the last 2 months, you will get the drift and the flow. But today we are talking about reigning as kings. And last week, we talked about living in the kingdom. And we saw that God's idea is for us to live in the kingdom. God, Jesus, did not come to establish a religion. He came to introduce a kingdom. And the Holy Spirit came to establish the kingdom. And we saw that this kingdom is very real, and it is the foretaste of the literal kingdom of Jesus that is going to happen when it comes to establish his 1,000-year rule or reign on this earth. But now we are living in the kingdom as a foretaste. Now, God wants us to reign. And I'm going to read a few scriptures that will, it will set the tone. Now, let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." So here the Bible is saying that those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they will reign in this life through Jesus Christ. So God wants us to reign. It's not enough to wear a crown or to be made a king. You must also rule or reign as a king. Let's look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. It says, "And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Here, the Bible is telling us that the reason why God made us kings and priests is for us to reign on this earth. And again, we are going to have the foretaste here, but the full taste is going to happen when Jesus Christ comes to set up his kingdom, the literal kingdom where he will be king over the earth. Then we are going to reign with him. Now, we are supposed to reign in this world as a foretaste of that. That is why we say there are some people who are going to taste, the powers of the age to come. The powers of the age, the next age, which is the kingdom age, the powers of that age. God wants us to taste those powers now in this age. And like we saw last week, the church must transition from religious thinking to kingdom thinking. We must begin to see church beyond Sunday meetings. We are going to see church beyond the four walls of a building. Begin to see church beyond clerical colors and pulpits and microphones. Then see church as a kingdom. A kingdom that is in this world. You see, the earth is neutral. The Hebrew word for earth is teria. And teria is just means an expanse. And it means land. Real estate, and it is neutral. Now, at every material moment, there must be a world ruling over the earth. That is how God created it. The world is a spiritual system that must rule on the earth. The earth is neutral. What Adam did by obeying the devil was that he voted the world of the devil into power. He voted a certain kind of world into power, and that world is what the Bible refers to as the cosmos, the world of the devil. Cosmos means an orderly arrangement, a system of rulership. You know, it is Satan's spiritual government that rules the hearts and the minds of people. So the world and the earth are different. Now, when we become born again, we are born into a kingdom. And that kingdom is another world. It's also a world. It's also a system of influence. It's also a system of spiritual influence. When we talk about kingdom, you can summarize kingdom in the word influence. That is why the parable that Jesus Christ gave concerning the kingdom, most of them were about influence. He said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that was placed in the ground and it grew. It's like yeast that was put in a lamp and the whole lamp was living. You know how yeast will cause the dough to rise. You don't see it with your physical eyes, but you see the dough rising. He was trying to paint a picture of the kingdom as something that is not seen with the physical eye, but something that influences wherever it goes. So he said it's like the mustard seed. The seed is very insignificant, very, very small. But that seed will grow and it will affect the environment. He said we are the salt of the earth. The salt changes the flavor of the soup. So the whole idea of the kingdom is about influence. Every kingdom is known by its influence. Its influence. Its influence. There are three things that when you see a king, there are three things that the king carries. The king carries authority, the king carries power, and the king carries influence. So the king wears a crown, the king has a scepter, the king has a signet. You know, in Bible times, kings had scepters and signets. Signet is like a ring. That is like the seal of the king. When the king gives you his signet, he has given you his authority. The crown is the power of the king. Now the scepter is the influence of the king. And the signet is the authority of the king. So we are in a kingdom. And our kingdom is also a world. That's why in Colossians 1:12, Bible says that God has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son of love. So there are two kingdoms, two worlds, the world of God and the world of the devil. Now, we live on this earth, we live in the midst of the world of Satan, and we have the world of God in us. So every believer interacts with these two worlds. You live on this earth, you have the world of Satan. We are living in the world of Satan. Bible says the whole world lies in the embrace of the wicked one. 1 John 5:19. The whole world lies in the embrace of the wicked one. So we live in the world. Jesus Christ said, you are in this world, but you are not of this world. You are not of this world means that you are not of the government of Satan. You don't belong to the government of Satan. But unfortunately, the government that is ruling the earth, till the least God gave Adam a spice, that government is the government of Satan. So we call him the God of this world or the God of this age, because till the least God gave Adam a spice, his government will be the one that is most prevalent on this earth. So when you become born again, in a sense, you become a rebel. You become a rebel in the sense that now we are waiting for this age to end so that the kingdom age will begin. When the kingdom age begins, then Jesus will overthrow this world and then establish his world. But now he has established his world in our hearts and is reigning and ruling in our heart. So our challenge is, how do we release the kingdom in our heart, the world in our heart, to affect this earth as against the world that is ruling over this earth? Hallelujah. That is our challenge. But God wants us to reign as kings. Now, man was created to rule, as we know from Genesis 1:26. It said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. Now, the word dominion, write the word dominion down. The word dominion is the Hebrew word basilia. Basilia. Basilia is B-A-S-I-L-L-I-A. And basilia simply means sovereignty, royal power, and dominion. Sovereignty, royal power, and dominion. Now, to have dominion and to subdue means this: to reign, to rule, to administrate, to govern. They are all the same. Have dominion or reigning is the same as ruling. Administrating, governing, and then subduing. That is what God meant by saying man should have dominion. Now, we are reigning as kings. The dominion God gave to Adam was limited to the physical world. When you check the things that God authorized Adam to rule over, they were all limited to the physical. God gave Adam dominion over the birds of the air, over the cattle, the beast of the field, over the fish in the sea, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the surface of the earth. That was Adam's dominion. Adam was not given the dominion over the spirit world. Well, it was on this earth. And truly speaking, man still has dominion on this earth. Because what gave man dominion was an edict of God. So for as long as God has not come back to say that man shouldn't have dominion, man will continue to have dominion. That is why you will see a herd of cattle and you will see one small boy leading all these cattle. You will see one small boy leading all these cows. Some of the cows are mummies and daddies. But you see this little child leading the cows. That is a picture of dominion. You see that man has even created guns so that we can even dominate the wild life, the animal kingdom. So man is still exercising dominion, because what gave man dominion was an edict of God. Let us make man and let them have dominion. So as a human being, whether he's fallen or he's born again, he's exercising dominion over physical things, because that was the limit of Adam's dominion. Man has made ships to rule the sea. So man is exercising dominion over the sea by making ships and boats to rule the sea. So that's Adam's dominion. It was physical. Now, when Adam sinned and he fell from glory, he fell from glory. Glory was what man lost when he fell. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Adam sinned and fell short of God's glory. He fell from glory. Jesus Christ came as the last Adam. What he came to do was to cleanse us from the sin nature of the devil, then make us fitting vessels for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us and set up God's invisible kingdom in our hearts, so that from our hearts we can begin to affect the world with God's world that is in our heart. Hallelujah. Now, when Jesus came, he came as man. He had to come as man because it was man who was given dominion over this earth. So, for as long as Adam's lease was in force, Jesus couldn't have come as God. He had to come as man. Otherwise, he wouldn't have dominion over the earth. He wouldn't have the right to operate, and even the right to even engage the devil and defeat him, because that dominion was given to man. So he came as man. That is why when he was on this earth, he was always stressing that the Son of Man, the Son of Man, the Son of Man, just to let people know, let the powers know that I have come as man. So I have a legitimate right to engage the devil and to wrestle back from him the authority he stole from man. So as a man, he lived. As a man, he exercised dominion, exercised authority. Then as a man, he died. As a man, he went to suffer the just penalty of sin that man should have suffered. As a man, he met the devil and defeated him and took back the keys of death and Hades from the devil. He did that. He was a man. He came as man. He was 100% God, 100% man. And that is God's wisdom. But he never used his powers as God. All that Jesus did on this earth, he did it purely as a man, anointed by the Holy Ghost. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus did miracles not because he was God, but because he was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. That's why he said, those who believe in me, the works that I do, shall they do also, and greater works, because I go back to the Father. So everything he did was an example that you, a human being like me, you can do the same. So he descended to the lowest earthly region, hell, then ascended to the highest heaven. The reason why you and I can even think of going to heaven is because there's a man there. So when he resurrected with a human body, but it was glorified. It was that same body that he ascended into heaven with. He was there with the disciples, and they saw him being carried up on high. And then the clouds received him. The clouds were the saints, the great cloud of witness. He just went into them, and then they received him back to heaven. That is why we can also say, now come to 1 Corinthians 15, 47. Let's look at something. So, the limit of the dominion of the last Adam is higher, deeper, wider, longer than the limits of the dominion of the first Adam. Jesus Christ is the last Adam. Bible calls him the last Adam. Not the second Adam, the last Adam. Which means there will not be any other Adam. There will not be any Adam after Christ. He came as the last Adam. And as the last Adam, he defeated the devil, and then he expanded the limits of dominion that God gave the first Adam. So Jesus' limit, his dominion, is not limited to the earth. He has dominion in the heavens, dominion on earth, and dominion under the earth. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above all name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is how he expanded the limits of dominion of the first Adam. The first Adam had the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cow, the fowl, the cattle and then the beast of the field and the creeping things. But he had heaven, earth, under the earth. Now, when you become born again, God doesn't take you back to the place where Adam was when he fell. When you become born again, God puts you in Christ, which means that you share the limits of Christ's dominion. The born again believer is superior to Adam. Adam's dominion was limited to this earth. But the last Adam's dominion was not limited to this earth. And so when we become born again, we take on the image of the last Adam, not the first Adam. That is why the born again person is higher than the average man, the average woman. So in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul was rebuking the church and he said, are you not behaving as mere men? 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1 to 3. He said, brethren, when I came to you, I could not speak to you as unto mature people. I spoke to you as babes in Christ, and I fed you with milk because you were not able to receive solid food. And even now, you're not able. Then he said, whereas there is strife and envy amongst you, are you not carnal? And are you not behaving as men? Behaving as mere men, which means that when you become born again, God doesn't take you back to where Adam was before he fell. He puts you on a higher plane than Adam. He puts you in the plane of the last Adam. So 1 Corinthians 15 verse 47, it says, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was a man of dust, so also are all those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are all those who are heavenly. Now, who is the heavenly man? He said the first Adam was made of dust. He was limited to this earth. But the last Adam was of heaven. The last Adam, that is the Lord, he was of heaven. And he's saying that now those who came from the first Adam, they have the nature of the first Adam. The nature of the first Adam is dust. When Adam sinned, God said, you are dust, and unto dust shall you return. That was the nature of the first Adam. But the nature of the last Adam is not dust, it's rock. It's rock. So the serpent can bite the dust, but the serpent cannot bite the rock. So when you become born again, you are put in the last Adam. Come to verse 47, verse 49. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now, like I explained the other time, if you have footnotes in your Bible, check the 49. The original text reads, let us also bear the image of the heavenly man. It's saying that as we have borne the image of the man of dust, let's also bear or walk in the image of the heavenly man. Which means when you say we shall bear, it's not in the future. It means that now when you are born into the first Adam. That's when you are born again, you are born into the last Adam. So the limits of the first Adam's dominion will be your limits if you are still in the first Adam. When you are born again, your limits, the limits of your dominion will be the limits of the second Adam's dominion. What is the heavens, the earth, and under the earth. So every believer, you are supposed to reign in heaven, on earth, under the earth. The heavens refers to the spirit beings, both divine and demonic, angelic beings, principalities, powers, and all those people. Then the earth refers to situations on this earth, circumstances on this earth, demonic spirits on this earth. Then the under the earth refers to hell, the power of hell. So the power of hell doesn't have power over the one who is born again. If you are born again, hell doesn't have power over you because your dominion, the limit of your dominion is in heaven, on earth, under the earth. When God exalted Jesus, he exalted the church. He exalted everybody who is born again, who is born of the Spirit, who descends from the last Adam, was also exalted because we have been made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality and rule. Now, I hope you are getting me. Okay, dominion. Before you can reign as a king, we must understand dominion. And I've already defined dominion in other messages. I said dominion simply is equal to image plus authority plus power. That's dominion. Image plus authority plus power. Dominion. So these three things are the three things that make or constitute dominion. So the kind of image you have determines the kind of authority you have and to determine the amount of power you can use. Let me define image. Image simply means copy. It means shadow. It means prototype. Image means prototype. Image means a copy of something. A copy of something. A copy of something. Therefore, image talks about identity. Image talks about identity. It talks about identity. And then it talks about representation. Your image is your identity. Your image is your representation. If you take a picture right now, that picture is a copy of you. It's your image. And that picture is your identity. You see, when we talk about ID card, it bears your picture. So where you yourself, you cannot go, you can send your ID, then they will look at the picture on the ID and they will identify you with that picture. Even though the picture is not you, it stands for you. And the picture also represents you. It is your representation. Now, when God created Adam, Adam was created in the image of God. Now listen, The image that Adam was created in, the image of God that Adam was created in, determined the limits of his dominion. And then that determined the authority he carried and the power that was available to him. Then let me define authority, then power, then I'll come back to image. Authority is the right, the legal and the moral right to exercise control. That is authority. The legal and the moral right to exercise control. Hallelujah. 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 That is authority. The legal and moral right to exercise control. Then power is the ability to exercise control. The ability to exercise control. That is power. If I can lift you from your chair and lift you up and change your sitting position, I have demonstrated power. I have demonstrated ability and strength. But if, let's say, the chair is mine and I tell you, get out from that chair, I have demonstrated authority. Why? Because the chair is mine. I have the right to tell you whether to sit on it or to get out of the chair. Okay. And I said, the image you have determines the authority that you have. Let me build it so that you understand. If you have the image of the first Adam, your authority is limited to only physical things. That is why man can make ships, man can make guns, but man cannot confront the devil. That is why some people can have the wisdom to build businesses, the wisdom to build many things, but they can't handle spiritual things because their authority is the dominion they have is only from the first Adam. They are not born again. They don't have the dominion of the last Adam. They have control over the works of the devil. They can control things on this earth, but they cannot get through into the spiritual. Why? Because they are not born again. So they don't have the dominion of the last Adam. Now, because Adam's image, listen, and there are two words in the Bible for image. I just want to touch on them. Then you understand why I'm saying that the first Adam's image and his authority was limited. There are two words in the Bible for image. The first one is the word homoioma. I've taught on these two words before. Homoioma is H-O-M-O-I-O-M-A. It's a Greek word, meaning image. It's translated image in the Bible. But this image that is talking about is an image that doesn't have a connection of life to the person. It is like you and your picture. You and your statue. Your statue looks like you, but your statue doesn't have your life. You don't share any life with your picture. True or false? Even though your picture looks exactly like you. That's one word for image in the Bible. And that's the word that was used when God was saying that, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. So, but God had a plan to upgrade Adam from simply being a similitude to become somebody who is in the real likeness of God, like Jesus. Unfortunately, Adam fell. He didn't attain to that. That one would have been accomplished by the tree of life that was in the garden. If Adam had eaten the tree of life, Adam would have gotten the life of God, which is the Zoe life of God, and would have been taken to another level in his image. He would have become just like God, like Jesus Christ. But Adam couldn't attain to that. The second word that is translated image in the Bible is the word icon. Icon is E-I-K-O-N. E-I-K-O-N. Icon. That is the word that is used for Jesus. When the Bible talks about the Father, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. The Greek word that is used is not homoioma, but icon. Icon means image that is as a result of shared life. Resemblance that comes out of somebody sharing your life. Hallelujah. Somebody sharing your life. That is icon. Resemblance that comes from somebody sharing your life. That is icon. Icon. Icon means that The resemblance is as a result of a shared life. And that's the word that is used for Jesus. When the Bible says in Colossians 1 verse 16, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. The word image here is the word icon. Icon means it's like God gave birth to him literally. He came out of the womb of the Father, literally. So he carries the DNA, the very life of God. Unlike Adam, who was just a similitude of God, but they didn't carry the life of God, the Zoe of God. That life of God was in the garden, and God would have given it to Adam, but Adam didn't eat of the tree of life. He ate of the tree of knowledge. It was God's plan that man should have eaten life before knowledge, but man chose knowledge before life. And so man died. So here comes Jesus Christ, who is the icon of God, who is the very representation of the Father, the express image, the exact representation of the Father, the express image, the icon of God. When he came, his dominion, the limit of his dominion was higher than that of Adam. Because your image will determine the authority you carry. So if your image is the first Adam, your authority is limited to the physical things. But when your image is from the last Adam, your authority is not limited to physical things, but it stretches beyond the physical into the spiritual. Hallelujah. So every born again believer has dominion not only over physical things, but also over spiritual entities. That is why in the Old Testament, God never told them that they have power over the devil. In the Old Testament, they were never even allowed to confront the devil. There was no casting out of devils in the Old Testament. Why? Because they still had only the image of the first Adam. So in the Old Testament, Satan had his way. When Satan afflicts them, they will say it's God. Because they were not allowed to deal with him directly. Remember Job, he told his wife, he said, should we receive good things from God and not evil things? Meanwhile, it was Satan who was afflicting him, but he was saying it was God. Sarah said that God has kept me from bearing children. It wasn't God who kept her, you know. She was afflicted because of the gods of her fathers, those idol worship. But they couldn't deal with the devil. There was nothing like casting out devils in the Old Testament. Why? Because the image of the first Adam, it cannot handle the devil like that. It doesn't have the right to cast them out. Casting out of devils only began when Jesus came on the scene. Because he carried the real image of God, the icon of God. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ came and demonstrated how Adam would have lived if he had taken the tree of life. The life Jesus led was the life Adam would have led if he had partaken of the tree of life. Which means that if Adam had eaten the tree of life and had been upgraded to the higher image of the life of God, he could have walked on water. He could have cast out devils. He could have exercised dominion over death, over Satan, over sickness. You know, because that is what Jesus came to do. And so what he came to do was to tell that, look, I've taken you from the first Adam and I've placed you in the last Adam to train you to reign. I've put a crown on your head, but I must train you to grow into that image and then reign. Because now, your image determines your authority. And then your authority determines how much of power you can use. Power doesn't grow, as I've already said, power doesn't grow. Power is the same. The same power that a day-old baby Christian has is the same power that a 40-year-old Christian has. The same power. But their authority is different. Their authority levels are different because the image levels too are different. Because the one who is born today, he is born into the image of the last Adam, but he must grow to even understand that he has the image of the last Adam, grow, trained to use what he has. Then he can express that authority that belongs to the last Adam. Hallelujah. So when Jesus Christ came, he restored image, then restored authority, then restored power in that order. When he died, he rose from the dead. Then he went to the disciples. The first thing he gave them was the image. In John chapter 20 verse 22, he went to them and breathed on them. Received the Holy Spirit. That was the image he was breathing into them. Received the Holy Spirit is different from, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. This one was the initial infilling. It was what Jesus Christ was breathing into them, a new image, a new life. That was when they were truly born again. So he breathed the image into them. He fixed the image problem for them to come to the same image that he is. He breathed on them. Then he restored authority. Second, in Matthew 28 verse 18 to 20, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. So he restored authority, because after the image has been restored, the next one is authority. Then the third thing he restored was power. In Acts 1:8, he said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So he restored the image, restored the authority, then restored the power. So the image of the last Adam corresponds to the authority of the last Adam, and then the power of the last Adam. Hallelujah. So the authority of the new creation surpasses that of Adam because of the higher life of God called Zoe, which Adam didn't attain to, which none of the Old Testament people had, which was only made available when Jesus Christ came. He was the only one who came as an embodiment of the Zoe life of God. He said, I am the light of life. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of life. He was everything in life. In him was life, and the life was the light. And so he was the embodiment. And then, so when he came to make us fitting vessels, that so that he can release that tree of life into us. So that we will go straight to where Adam should have attained to. So ours is shortcut. We are just been taken from the first Adam into the last Adam. When you are born again, you don't go back to become like Adam. You become like Christ. Now, when you become like Christ, the image that you have is the image of the last Adam. But you see, I've already explained that the image you have will determine the authority you carry, and then the power that can be made available to you. Now, the question is, why is it that we are born again into the image of the last Adam, but we don't seem to have the authority, or we are not seen to be exercising the authority just as Jesus did. And we are not seeing the power just as Jesus did. The only explanation is growth. Growing in the image. Growing into the image. When God places you in Christ, God puts you on a journey, training you for reigning. He trains you for you to be able to reign and rule like Christ. That's the reason why, even after becoming born again, the Holy Spirit works on us. He's working on us to bring our thinking to a level, and our image to a level where we understand what has been done in us and we'll be able to walk exactly as Christ did on this earth. Because all that Jesus did, he didn't do for himself. All that he accomplished, he turned over and gave to the church. Everything Jesus did was for the church, not for himself. When the Bible says, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and strength and honor and blessing and glory and all that, seven things. What he was saying was that Jesus died to receive those seven things. Then he received them on behalf of the church. And he gave them to the church. He doesn't need wisdom. He is wisdom. He doesn't need power. He doesn't need glory. He is glory. So we are the ones who need wisdom. We are the ones who need power, who need blessing, who need glory, who need riches, who need strength. So where did the Lamb who was slain to receive these seven things? And he didn't receive them for himself. He received them for the church. So as we grow in the image, we grow in authority and we can access more power. The power is the same. The power that is in you is the same power that is in every believer. No change. The Holy Spirit comes into you, not in pieces. He comes as one whole person with the full power of heaven. So every believer is a walking powerhouse. It's a powerhouse. Even if you are born again today, you are a powerhouse because the amount of power you carry is all the power of God. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, it means the omnipotent power. All potential. Omnipotent God lives in you. So, Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If we look at what has been deposited in us, I'm telling you, it doesn't match with the amount of victories we have on this earth. What is in us doesn't correspond to the victories we have. Even in relation with the devil, what we have doesn't correspond. If what we have, if it is true that what the Bible is saying is true and we have it in us, then by now we should be conquering everything. Having everything under our feet. Everything under our command. Like Jesus. But the difference, what explains the discrepancy or the difference is growing into the image. That is why, you know, yesterday somebody was asking me, he said, he heard that somebody went to cast out some spirit from a certain tree or so, and then he died. He was asking me, he has just come out from the occult world. He was asking me, if what we are saying is true, that all power belongs to God, why is it that somebody who is a believer will go and cast a spirit out of a tree? You know, that the tree was like the whole community. That is where the ruling power of the community resided in the tree. So why is it that he went to cast out the power from the tree and then he died? He put the question. He said, why is it that God was not able to defeat the spirit in the tree? Because he has just come out, he somehow still believes that world, they have too much power and that we are somehow belittling their power. So he used this as a case study scenario to convince me that sometimes even God, he cannot deal with these powers. And I told him that, look, it's not like that at all. The one, that person had all the power of God in him. But the question is, how much of the power was he able to access? That will be dependent on how much authority he had. And that will be dependent on how much image he had. Because when we are fully grown, our authority covers the heavens, the earth, under the earth. Let me explain it this way. when you become born again, just the image of Christ that you have can cast out evil spirits. Listen, just the image of Christ that you have, the image you have been put in Christ, even if you have not grown, even if you have not grown, there are evil spirits, you can cast evil spirits out. Spirits of infirmity, spirits that are living in people, that are troubling people, you will cast them out. That one is basic. He said, those who believe in me, they shall cast out devils. Talking about devils that are living in people's bodies. Demons that are living in people, harassing people, you have a right to cast them out. That one is the basic. It's the first level. You understand? It's the first level. But you see, now when we grow, as we grow in authority, there are higher ranks of the demonic world that we are exposed to, that we are empowered and authorized to deal with. So the one who went to deliver the entire city by trying to cast out the demon from the tree, what the reason why he couldn't do that was, number one, maybe God had not authorized him to do that. God has authorized us to cast out devils from people. That one, you don't need any permission to do that. Because demons are demons, and when they live in people, we can cast them out. But there are situations where you're not dealing with demons, you are dealing with powers and principalities. They are hierarchy. So ground demons and spirits of infirmity and all those demons, we have every right to cast them out. No one should give us permission. Even God will not give us permission. He has already given us the authority to cast them out. So even the day old believer can cast out demons from people. If only he has a little boldness. Yeah. He can say in the name of Jesus, come out, and the demons will come out. So casting out demons is not any big deal. It's not, it doesn't show that you are spiritual or mature. Yeah, because it is basic. That's why when I talk, I always say that deliverance is more than casting out demons. Casting out demons is basic. Deliverance goes beyond casting out demons. There are some demons that you don't cast them out. There are some demons, you know, there are some spirits, let me put it this way, there are some spirits who are not just cast out. You have to dislodge their legal grounds. Then they go, before they go. You cannot just go and stand at Antoine and say, come out of this river in Jesus' name. But you can stand before somebody who has the evil spirit and command the spirit out. But to go and deliver an entire city, it calls for ranking in the spirit. Our authority is vested in the name of Jesus. So when you are in Christ, the devil sees you, demons see you, and they tremble. And because they know you have power over them. You see, the reason why sometimes we even struggle casting out ordinary demons is because of lack of boldness, not lack of authority or lack of power. It's lack of boldness. You see, because when you become born again, you have been authorized to cast out demons. That one, you don't need any special classes to cast out demons. You have been authorized. It's to God. Do you know how God casts out demons? God does it. He casts demons out with his finger. Oh yes. Jesus Christ said, he said, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So God cast demons out with his fingers. But guess what? He saved us with his arm, outstretched arm. Because that one demanded greater power and authority. Yeah. But for demons, he will just cast them out. Now, but you see, as we grow in the image, then we grow in authority. Then it is rank to rank. There are some spirits that God will not even allow you to meet them. Even though you are born again, you have the power of God, God will not allow you to meet them. I'm not talking about demons. You see, demons are different. Demons are ground ones. They live in people. They are spirits who are not demons. They are fallen angels and all that. They came with the devil. They are not demons. They are spirits. They don't live in people per se. They control territories. They control ideas, strongholds. They promote ideas. They promote strongholds. They promote false religion. You know, Bible say we have principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, and the spiritual wickedness in high places. In that order. So we have demons who are on the ground, okay, who live in people, just messing them up, causing trouble. Those ones will just cast them out. But then we have principalities. Principalities govern areas. Those are the ones we call strong men. They govern areas. Okay. Then after principalities, we have powers. So in that hierarchy, principalities are the lowest. They govern territories, areas. You go to a town, there's a ruling spirit of the town. That's a principality. Ruling spirit of Ghana, principality. But then the powers are those who are always behind thrones and positions. There are spirits who are seeking to control Ghana. They are the powers. So they are always behind the president's throne, seeking to take over the presidency. That is why when believers don't pray, the one who sits on that throne will be subjected to the influence of the powers. And they will corrupt him to be doing things that will make Christianity very difficult in this land. So Paul said, first of all, we should offer intercession and prayers for king and those in authority so that we can live a peaceful life on this earth. Because they are controlled by the powers, chiefs and those in authority. The powers will seek to control them. The believers must pray. See, those spirits, they are usually dealt with by corporate prayer. Corporate prayer. Then we have the rulers of the darkness of this age. They are the ones who promote false religion and false ideas. Behind music, behind entertainment, behind these lesbian, gay. I mean, they promote false ideas. Rastafarianism, hip-hop, occultism, Freemason. These are the ones who promote the false ideas. And they always want the world to drift away from the trend of God. And we call them trendsetters. They set the trend in fashion, in music, in the world. They are the ones who control the world. And they have human agents who also aid them, help them to control the world. Illuminati, secret societies, and all those guys. Then after that, you come to the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. These are the spiritual gurus. Spiritual gurus in heavenly places. Now, when it comes to dealing with them, the Bible never says we should fight them. The Bible says we wrestle with them. You see, if the Bible says cast out demons, we cast out demons. But the Bible doesn't say we cast out principalities and powers. We wrestle with them. And even the wrestling, he said, put on the whole armor of God and stand. He didn't say and go and fight them. So you wrestle with them by making sure that you are covered with the armor of God. And then you stand your ground. When you stand your ground, you see, because those ones, till the least God gave Adam and spies, they are not going anywhere. Yeah. Look at what the devil told Jesus. He said, have you come to destroy me before the time? He said, it's an agreement. We have an agreement. My time is not up. You can't cast me out. You can't destroy me before my time. I know my rights. The devil said, I know my rights. I know that my time will come, and I know the time, and it's not time yet. So the principalities and powers, we cannot cast them out. They are there. Now, we can dislodge them. When the believers' obedience is fulfilled, then God will punish their disobedience. And so, when you go to a city, the ruling principality of the city, God will not touch it. God will not do anything about it till he has put his people through a process where their obedience is fulfilled. And the image, the corporate image has gotten to a certain level, then God will begin to judge the ruling principality. Do you know for how many years believers have been praying for Kumasi? For so many years. And Asante Kingdom is 347 years old. How old are you? It's 347 years old. Imagine. And so, for some time, God has been stirring up believers to pray and believers to fulfill his obedience. And God has been giving requirements, and believers have been doing it. Many people came, they couldn't even see the liberation of this city, and they died. We have people like Reverend Amoakun, who came, people like Enoch Agbozo, who is still alive, who was dedicated to seeing that this city experiences revival. He was always coming to Kumasi to preach and almost trying to bring the revival himself. But it didn't work. Why? Because God was building a platform. The platform must be raised and built so that God can stand on the platform and knock off that ruling principality. So gradually, then we have also come. And you see, our good news is that when we came, the platform was almost full. That is our good news. The platform was almost filled. Full. So we just came to top up a little. And it was full. And God said, now is the time for the liberation of my people. Then God stood on the platform and knocked off the principality. That is why revival is coming very soon. You see, when we say revival, we are talking about a season or a period where it's like salvation becomes like people going for a visa. You see many people trooping to the kingdom. You see that this city will change to the extent that you see churches flourishing and multiplying. You see people running to churches, including chiefs. You see chiefs surrendering to God. That is when we say revival has hit the city. That is when God comes into the city and sweeps the city, through the city. Like happened in the world's revival, where the whole city was turned to God. It happened not because one person went and stood and said, I cast out the spirit controlling wills. No. That one, we don't cast them out. So, but as we grow in the image, we grow in our level and rank. There are some spirits God will not permit you to deal with them because your image doesn't match to them. That, you see, we should understand this thing. When Michael was struggling with the devil over Satan's body, Bible said that Michael was not able to rebuke the devil. It's in Jude. He said he dare not raise a railing accusation against Lucifer. Somebody will say, but Michael is from God. Why wasn't he able to rebuke the devil? The same thing happened in Daniel's time when an angel was coming to give Daniel revelation. And the demonic angel also hijacked the angel for 21 days. And Michael went to help the angel. Now, so why is it that an angel of God can be hijacked by Satan's angel? We are talking about ranking here. So Michael was of higher rank. So he came to rescue that angel. And he said, the Lord rebuke you, Lucifer. You know why he could rebuke Satan? Because both of them on earth, they are illegal. They are illegal. Angels are illegal on this earth. Angels don't have dominion over this earth. Dominion was given to man. So if you have come to take Moses' body, and I've also come, the two of us, we don't have dominion. And besides, when it comes to rank, you know, even though I'm fallen, I was filled Master, you were general. So he said, the Lord rebuke you. But see, we can rebuke Satan because we have dominion. So when we meet him here, we can say, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And then because of what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Now let me talk about the power and then I'll end. Okay. Power doesn't grow, as I've said. We have the same level of power, the same degree of power. But power has many dimensions. We have about four different dimensions of power that the believer can walk in. Now, it doesn't mean you are growing in power. You don't grow in power. But, you see, your authority, as your authority grows, you can access more power. And then you are exposed to more dimensions of the power that is already in you. But the power is the same power that is in you. It doesn't grow. It says, but grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus. You don't see anywhere else say grow in power. No. We grow in strength. We grow in faith. We grow in knowledge. We grow in grace. From grace to grace, faith to faith, strength to strength. You know, glory to glory. But the power is the same. So, we have what the Greek calls iskous power. Iskous. I-S-C-H-U-S. Iskous power. Iskous. Iskous talks about the presence, the force of presence, the weight of the believer. The weight of the believer. Whether you have weight or not. You see, for instance, demonic agents, what they can weigh you as a believer and know whether you have weight or not. Even though you carry authority, they can weigh you and see whether you have weight or not. And Iskus, when it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That is Iskus. Iskus is the power there. Iskus. Then, we have Kratos power. Kratos power is that dimension of power that gives you immunity. That dimension of power that gives you immunity. That is Kratos. When you grow in image and you grow in authority, you are exposed to these various dimensions to the extent that Kratos power is, for instance, the power that can make you immune to certain, let's say, epidemics. You are immune. You are protected. It's like there's a shield around you, Kratos. The power that shut the mouth of the lions in the lion's den in Daniel's time is Kratos' power. It is said of John G. Lake that he was helping people in South Africa. And there was an outbreak of a very deadly disease like Ebola. And he was just helping them without any wearing any protective clothing. No gloves, no mask. And they were expecting him to just fall down and die because it was very contagious. People were dying just like that. And they went to me and asked, I said, why is it that you are exposing yourself to this risk? Then he said, I don't see any risk in this. Then he said, they should take some of the virus and put it in his hand under a microscope. He wants to teach them something. So they took some and put it in his hand. And as soon as they touched his hand, they died. That is Kratos' power. He had grown in image, in knowledge, in revelation to the extent that he was walking in Kratos' power. That you have no power. The the sickness has no power over him. It's the same power that will make the believer immune to, let's say, the four elements of the world. Fire, wind, water, earth. These are the four things the devil, and there are demonic spirits in charge of that. In charge of fire. The same way God has angels in charge of fire and wind. Satan has angels in charge of fire and wind and all that. The power of the bullet is fire. Kratos' power can break. You see, when somebody shoots you right now, the force and the speed will kill you. But Kratos' power around you can break the force and the speed, and the bullet cannot touch you. So that explains why some people can face armed robbers. Yes. And some people can, you see, what, the more the image grows and the authority grows, you will know. So if you are not there yet, don't attempt and come and say that God is not powerful. Because you have not been exposed to the Kratos power. Just lie down and let them take whatever they want to take. And then let them go. But if you know that you are walking in Kratos, like this man of God who said, one of them said that the armed robbers came to his house and they were knocking. Bam, I said, who are you? He said, we are armed robbers. He said, what do you want? He said, we have come to kill you. He said, okay, give me 3 minutes. I'm coming out. By the count of 10, you all be dead. 1, 2, they run away. You know, I was telling some group of pastors, and one of them said, Charlie, at the end, sometimes I take a shoe. And I said, this thing is not take a shoe. You don't use this thing is not take a shoe. This thing is authority. He knows his rank. And he knows where he is. I remember one day I had a dream, and I was in the dream, I was in a car with Bishop Oyedepo. Then an armed robber came. He was coming towards he was coming towards the car. Then in the dream, I was afraid. So I rolled up the window. Then Oyedepo said, roll it down. Then the armed robber came, and when he came, he pointed the gun at us. Then I went back like this, and the gun was pointing to Oyedepo. And you say I should roll it down. So you know what he did in the dream? He held the mouth, the neck of the gun, and broke it, and told the armed robber, "I dare you to shoot." And the guy just left. That is Kratos' power. So we must aspire to get to those points. When you get there, you will know you have gotten there. If you don't know you have gotten there, you are not there. It's as simple as that. You see, I was telling somebody that, look, it's not, you don't just, for instance, you don't just go and say, let's say you go to a town and say, I'm going to burn all the fetish priest, and I'm going to do. No, you don't just do those things. You go and preach the gospel, win souls, and live. Unless you know the rank you have and the authorization you have to touch them, just leave them. That's why sometimes people become overzealous and they die. And people will say that, why is God not powerful? I know somebody who was just going around the voter region. He was just destroying idols, just burning them, destroying them, burning them, and all that, and displaying the pictures and all that. He just died. He just died at 31. He just died. He just was one day, was it that just collapsed, and then he died. I'm telling you. So when you get there, you know. Then we have dunamis. Dunamis power. You see, dunamis power is also basic is basic. This is noisy power. Power that announces its presence. That's dynamis. We need to be exposed to that dimension of power. That is the power that casts out devils and, you know, it is noisy. It is noisy. When you are exposed to that dimension of power, you touch people who have demons and the demons will just come out. That's what I'm saying. It's noisy. You cannot hide dynamis. You can't hide it. If you are walking in that dimension, you can't hide it. I mean, it will be seen. It's clear. It's clear. Iskus cannot be seen. Iskus is on the inside. Weight. Your weight. But dynamis can be seen. It is a power that torments demons. Torments them. You know, sometimes when you are operating in dynamis, you touch deep people who have demons. They say that demons are being tormented. That is dynamis. Dynamis is the power that the basic is basic. Dynamis usually is enhanced, or you pray more in dynamis when you are given to prayer and fasting. But with Iskus and Kratos, it's not only prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is there. But Iskus and Kratos, knowledge and character. If you can walk in Iskus and Kratos power, you need knowledge. You need revelation to grow in your understanding of who you are and what Christ has done. Have a revelation of it, and then you grow in character. Then you also grow in prayer and fasting. You walk in Iskus and Kratos. Then the last one is what we call epikiazo. Epikiazo is overshadowing power, overflowing power. This one is the highest form of power, epikiazo. And it's that there are scriptures that are translated epikiazo. You know, Bible said that, and virtue went out of Jesus and healed them all. That is epikiazo. The virtue that went out of him was the anointing, the power. But you see, this epikiazo is overflowing power. When a well is overflowing, you don't need to get close to know there's water in it. Just by standing at a distance, you can see there's water in this well. Why? Because the well is overflowing. That is epikiazo. It's overshadowing power. The reason why Peter's shadow was healing the sick, it's not because of the anointing. It's because he had touched this dimension of power. Is the anointing all right? But it is this dimension of power that Peter had walked in. That was epikiazo. He was just walking and his shadow was healing the sick. He didn't tell them, bring the sick, let my shadow fall on them. No. That one, we can see that he prepared their faith. He prepared them. But this one, he was walking his normal walking, didn't know that he had put sick people on the street. And his normal walking was raising them from the sick bed. He was overshadowed with the power. That is epikiazo. Paul was preaching, and then Eutychus fell from the story building and died. Eutychus. There are many Eutychuses in the church. Eutychus, while Paul was and Paul preached from Sunday morning to midnight. Yes, you see, sometimes we think that we think we have done well. Paul was preaching Sunday morning, then he continued to midnight. Why wouldn't Eutychus fall asleep? And you know why? Because in those days, they didn't have things to record. And Paul was loaded. You know, the apostle had been waiting on God and receiving revelation, but nowhere to share. So when he catches them, he wants to release everything. You know, sometimes it's frustrating where you are bubbling with revelation and there's nobody to share with. So you catch somebody in the corner somewhere. then you release everything. When Eutychus fell, they picked Eutychus up and he was dead. Now, Paul didn't go to pray for him. Paul just went and hugged him. And his life returned to him. That is not the anointing. That is epikiazo. That is overshadowing power. It's the highest form of power. Not everybody works in that power. It takes a combination of all the three. It takes a combination of iskus, kratos, dunamis. It takes a growth in character, growth in knowledge and revelation, growth in prayer and fasting. That is epikiazo. So as we grow in image and authority, then we will access different dimensions of the power that is in us. All these four dimensions, they are for the believer. So you understand why there are differences in manifestation. Even though the potential is the same thing. But there are differences. Somebody was asking me some time ago, he said, about 2 years ago, there was a plane crash and one man of God died. Then he was saying, no, I don't understand, No, why should... Now, and then he said, why is it that somebody will be on a plane and the plane is about to crash and he will get up and say, plane. Then everything will stop. Then somebody's plane crashes. I said, it depends on how you look at it. I believe that there are levels and degrees of manifestation. There are people who have grown in the image and authority to the extent that they don't even need to tell demons to go out. They only issue decrees. When they issue the decree, the demon must find his way out. Jesus, you see, Jesus didn't, you will not hear Jesus rebuking maybe spirit of paralysis or something. He will not do that. Okay, he will rebuke fever, all right. But he will just tell him, stretch forth your hand. Stretch forth your hand. Then you, as you stretch forth your hand, even if it's a demon of paralysis, the demon will find his way. Because of the authority that is backing him. His image and authority was said that the demons, and sometimes he will just be teaching and the demons will be uncomfortable. That level is epikiazo. While Peter yet spake these things, the Holy Ghost fell on them. That is epikiazo. It's not just that Peter lay hands and said, Holy Ghost, fill them. No. While he was preaching the word, the Spirit fell on them. It was an anointing. That is why to stand before Peter and lie was you were signing your death, you were signing your death word. Because they worked in that level. Do you know why? Because they had grown in the image. People sometimes think that character issues don't matter in exercise of authority. It matters. It really, really matters. Because you see, when you are a believer and you are living a compromised life, you see, you can have power over spirits, you know, just basic spirit. Even there, some of them can even challenge you. If you want to grow in these dimensions, then you must grow in image. And the way we grow in image, we grow in image by knowledge, character, and experience. God will give you the knowledge first. Then he will give you the experience. That is why you are growing in image. How do you know you have a healing anointing? It's not just by knowledge that you say you shall lay hands on the sick. No. That one is knowledge, revelation. It must lead to practical experience where you will lay hands on a sick person. Then it will release confidence, grow confidence. Then you look for another sick person. Then your confidence level is growing as you see the sick healed. Then you look for another sick. So a time comes when the image is formed. Sometimes the image is formed when God gives you knowledge. then God takes you through training. We are trained to reign. And the training God gives us most of the time is through the wilderness. Come to Romans 8:17 as I end. Romans 8:17. It says, "And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." What he said is that you cannot reign without suffering. In other words, you cannot reign without training. God will take you through training. The training also constitutes, the image is comprised of the knowledge, the training, the experience comes through training. And God is the only one who knows how to combine things to train you. He will train you. And when you are fully trained, then you can access that level of authority that goes with the image and that level of power that goes with the image. That is why God didn't just anoint Jesus and send him like that. No, he anointed him and sent him into the wilderness for 40 days. Why? To train him. To train him. He exposed him to certain circumstances and watch how he will handle them. Sometimes, you know, before somebody can get to a place where he can just face armed robbers like that, you don't just move and face armed robbers. You go through training. God will train you. He will train you till you can stand before a dog. Now, if you can't stand before a dog, how can you stand before an armed robber? So he will train you so you can stand before a dog and command the dog to shut up. Command the dog that you can't lift your tongue against. You can't do anything against me. Then you know that, oh, okay, I have authority to command. Then you take you to the armed robber. Then you can say, when I was in the wilderness, I fought against bears and lions. And so I can stand before this uncircumcised Philistine. Unless you have done bear killing and lion killing in the wilderness, you can't face Goliath. That is not God's order. People think that God will just take you from one level and put you in a place of authority, place of prominence. There are some people, when they hear men of God issuing decrees, they also issue decrees. They hear man of God saying, in the name of Jesus, anybody who will rise up against Christianity in this city, die, die. They also go and do the same thing. Do you know what he has seen? Listen, if God is not leading you and you attempt these things, you'll be sorry. I'm telling you, even in a city, before the believers attempt to attack the powers that be, they need apostolic authority and a corporate anointing. Because apostolic authority is a confrontational authority where God will begin to reveal counsel, where you stand in his counsel, and God will give counsel and reveal secrets and how to go about the warfare. It's not just going attacking. No. Joshua had to wait for the commander of the host of the armies of God to come and show him how to wage the warfare. That is apostolic. You see, he said, march around Jericho. They didn't just get up and say, let's go. God will give you the land. Let's go. Attack Jericho. Attack. No. Attack. He said, no, march around the city 6 times. Prophetic direction, apostolic authority. Decree. That is what will cause a shift in the atmosphere. If as a ministry, we just got up and we started dealing with forces of darkness in this city without apostolic authority, by now, you hear many deaths in the ministry. I'm telling you. By now, you hear many deaths in the ministry. Because these people, you don't just get up and say, I want to attack them. You must first of all have authorization. You must have legitimacy. then you must have counsel. He said, by counsel we wage war. Counsel. The counsel of God. When God reveals the counsel and gives the prophetic direction and how the operation must take place, the enemy is helpless. He's helpless. I'm telling you, recently we did a prophetic operation. But it was limited to the pastors and the watchers. It wasn't general. We did an operation for 1 hour. Just 1 hour. Thursday night, the day they buried the Queen Mother, Thursday night, we did an operation from 11:01 to 12:01. 1-1-1 to 1-2-1. It was operation 1-1-1. And you know 1-1-1? Exodus 11:1. He said, one more plague and Pharaoh will let you go. In fact, he will drive you away. That was what we did. It is deep. It is deep. It is downloading the counsel of heaven to wage warfare. That, and I'm telling you, there's a shift. You see, if this whole city is like a hen coop and churches have been caged like chicken for so many years by powers that be, and so many believers have been praying and the prayers have ascended and become a platform, and God says, now is the time for me to break the hen coop and liberate the churches and liberate the businesses and liberate the families, so that in this city also we can have mega churches. You wait to see. We can have multinational companies. We can have, you see, do you know the physical manifestation of the spiritual limitation in this city? We don't have tall buildings. What is the tallest building in Kumasi? It's not even up to 10 floors. We don't have tall buildings. It is a physical indication of what is happening in the spirit. There's a height nobody, you wait, very soon you will see tall buildings. Because the limitation has been broken and the hen coop has been smashed. Smashed. Okay, now we'll continue. Next week, I'm going to talk about the assignment of kings. You don't have to miss it because you must know what your assignment is as a king and how you carry out your assignment. Bible says that there's a time kings go to war. Battle of kings. How kings must issue decrees. When you are fully grown, you don't only issue decrees, enforce decrees, you also issue... Hey, you want me to finish the message? Anyway, I finished. You don't only enforce decrees, you can issue decrees. You see, the difference between saying that according to what God has said, I declare, I decree. And then saying like Elijah said, there shall neither be rain nor dew for the space of 3.5 years, except according to my word. What boldness? According to my word. Let's pray. I want you to pray that God should release grace. Bible says we should grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus. Let's pray that God will help us to grow in the image. The image. So that authority. Pratoloboko Sidia Handa. Horianda Labatili Yanko Sika Hata. Iman Doloboko Sitolo Bahata. Lonaki Alabaha Tinda Kalakusi. Rapata Tayata. E Makayande. Kemolobo Sikaha. Kamaliande Pratolokose. Mante Proto Sitahata. Inko Tolobokosi. Rima Telebekese. Brontelebekata. Makayane Brotose. Mande Protolobosi. Ripandare Yakatoim. Himatoliandolobokosa. Rapata Yales. Yembolobosa. Ramaliandes. Mandelebokosa. Imaliandoko. Silibahanta. Gropakayanesi. Terepeles. Ripaliandosi. Menkaliandes. Ripakalianda. Mandolobokosi. Mande Protose Kata. Ikotolobokosi. Ikapayalesa. Ikotorobahasa. Help us to grow in grace and knowledge. 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 Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. In the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. In the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Ripandiandasa. Kurliantolobus. Bikorobokusa. Brantolobokusi. Ripaliandesa. In the name of Jesus. Holy Andahata. Manderebeko Sikata. Ye Paliandasa. Rampaliandesa. Ripandorokotorohusa. Kati Alabahati. Moriandesa. Ramatelemakosianda. Inkanliandoroboshaka. Kosikahanta. Rapaterebekosi. We are praying the second prayer. We are asking God to increase our prophetic sensitivity, our discernment, our ability to discern the times and the seasons. Let's begin to pray. Kol yanda rabahasam, kol tiri yanda sam, kol tayande rebekesi, manderebe kol tolobokosem, mol yanda raham, rimal yanda rekasikata, kol taliyande rebokosa. Ramantaliandesa, Kibaliando Kosia, Osialaha, Makialabahande, Lamaliando Lobokos, Ropaliandasa, Ikorobokosa, increase our prophetic sharpness, our sensitivity, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the anointing of the sons of Issachar, the anointing of the sons of Issachar, the ability to understand seasons and times and to know what Israel ought to do. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of counsel that releases the spirit of might to know what to do, to know what to do at what time. In the name of Jesus, ko parahande, re paliana, re palabahasa, inakoliani, ripananabaha, e pakianesa, rapatalabatosi, repololosa, mantayate, epalimbahataya, losakataya, ripandiatari, ropapaha, lopoliandesikaha, kamataya lakata, betorobokoshi, epariate rekasa, bokariadak. In the name of Jesus, we are praying this prayer for Ghana. We are praying for the president and his people. You see, God used the prayers of the saints to bring him to power. Last week I heard something, and you know, it was like, if it had not been for God, there was no way they would have come to power. No way. It was impossible. Because the things that had been put in place, there was no way they could have come. And as I heard the details, they were telling me the details, I said, wow. This is nothing but the hand of God that brought them. And I believe because the saints prayed. We prayed, but many other saints also prayed. We prayed. I led some prayers. I remember one prayer Pastor Collins also led us to pray at the October Watch Night. That those who celebrated Ghana at 50 must celebrate Ghana at 60. So we had a part to play in bringing them to power. Not only us, but the whole church, but we are also part of the church. And so it's our responsibility to also tell them what to do. So we are praying that the president and his people, they will be open to godly influence. And we are praying that any demonic person or agent that have found himself in their circle, God should turn their counsel into foolishness. Let's pray. Ko baha talela. Li polo ko si anta. Nanta ya libera handos. Ki polo makalianda sa. Gloria anta la bahata. Ke pratalianda sa. Di kolobo ko si kaham. Mantele beke talabahanda. I pandele bahasa. Kram maltoro ko si. Ro paliantelis. I kandele bahata. Lo siriata. Vratolo bakosa. Matia nabaha. I koro bakosa. In the name of Jesus, we pray for the president. We pray for the ministers. We pray that they will be open to godly influence. In the name of Jesus, that they will be open to godly influence. In the name of Jesus, that the issue of the destiny of Ghana will dawn on their hearts. In the name of Jesus, that they will know that they have been put in the kingdom for such a time as this. In the name of Jesus, we turn into foolishness the counsel of false prophets, the counsel of demonic agents around them. We turn them into foolishness. In the name of Jesus, let them be open to godly influence and godly counsel. In the name of Jesus, go behind that. Mandelebe kotara. Nambaria telebe Yesu. Go see a bahata. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for how far you brought us. We thank you for the insight you've given us, oh God. Thank you for the revelation. We pray that this revelation will lead to transformation in our lives. And we pray that we'll be catapulted to the place of destiny that you've earmarked for us. And Father, we'll even get to a place where we can fully represent you. That you can say, this is my son. This is my daughter. That wherever we go, you can rest assured that we'll fully represent you. Help us to grow in the image. Help us to grow in authority so that we can access more of the power. We thank you for Ghana. We pray for our president. We pray for the ministers and all those who have been appointed. We pray that they will be open to godly influence. They will be open to godly advice. They will be open to godly counselors. In the name of Jesus, we pray that, Father, any counsel of the wicked one, any counsel of demonic agents that have found its way around them, let those counsel be turned to foolishness. Like you turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness, turn their counsel into foolishness. Let the leaders of this nation be open to godly influence, and let Ghana be put in a place of destiny that God has earmarked for Ghana. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.